Welcome to the Lansdale Life Church Podcast. If you're seeking a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us today.
So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. This is a favorite chapter to me. You know, I always say that about almost every scripture. So I just love it all, don't you? How can you choose? But I love Hebrews 11. And in many theological circles, it's referred to as the Hall of Faith for a reason. So as you're turning to that, we're going to pray and thank the Lord for using His Word to do amazing things in our hearts and minds. So, Father God, we ask you to open up your scripture today so that we would be enlightened, illuminated, Lord God, and we would see this world and our purpose in the world from your perspective, not our old natural perspective, but from yours, so that we can rise up and be everything that we're meant to be. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the Hall of Faith. We're only going through three verses today, okay? Because there's a lot in this chapter. It's going to take a few weeks to get through. But in particular, the first three verses this week we're looking at, and it's really about faith, the Hall of Faith. Now, obviously, it's a play on the words Hall of Fame, okay? And the Hall of Fame, of course, is where amazing athletes that are legendary in their record setting, their accomplishments, and the things that they've done are entered, inducted into the Hall of Fame. Because it's kind of like recognizing there's never going to be another one like that. Well, there might be, but they still change the course of whether it be athletics, a sport, or music, right? The Country Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And so these are people that were trend setters. They were unique and powerful in the way they came out with their music and their sports. And they changed really the direction in many cases of our culture. And so they're inducted into the Hall of Fame. But here we're going to be reading about the Hall of Faith, okay? And these are people that exhibited such tremendous faith. And at a time, by the way, that they weren't temples of the Holy Spirit. We are new creations. In fact, Hebrews 11 is going to talk about that later on, not today. But it's going to talk about how they never received the promises that we have received. Think about that. So the faith that they exhibited in the natural, we can exhibit that kind of faith in the Spirit because we are temples of the Holy Spirit. But so this is the Hall of Faith, and I'm excited because the stories are just tremendous. But as I was thinking about this, I have a Hall of Famer living in my home, okay? Maybe you don't know this. But my wife, Jill, scored 1,000 points in her high school basketball career. So now she's saying, and I told you before, she hates that kind of spotlight. So right now she's mad at me for even bringing it up. But that's what's even more fun about it, right? And her number 32 was retired at her high school. So she was something. And what's cool also is that her sister, Debbie, was also, her number was also retired because she scored 1,000 points in her high school career. So that's pretty amazing, okay? I haven't scored 1 point, so that's pretty amazing, right? But so but most of all, what I really appreciate about my wife is that to me, she is in the Hall of Faith. Amen. I mean, because of her faith, she dragged me and Zach and Jesse into faith, kicking and screaming, because she exhibited faith in the Lord. She inspired me, like, how can you believe all this stuff? And before you knew it, I was all in. I was like, come on, Jill, we're going in, right? Because she exhibited that faith that I just so admired, something so different about her, because she had faith in God. And that's what this is about, the Hall of Faith. And you know, faith is really, I love the topic of faith, because it's more complicated than you think, okay? First of all, faith is a natural thing to mankind. Did you know that? Like, in other words, we were born in the image of God to have faith, to have the capacity to believe something without actually seeing it, right? Because people do that every day of the week. They believe something that they haven't yet seen, right? And unfortunately, most of the time, they're believing things that are false, but they're still believing things, right? In fact, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, just after one of my other favorite verses in the Bible, but Paul writes, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one." And that Greek word, hakostas, actually means to each and every one a measure of faith. In other words, the Lord has given everyone a metron of faith with the capacity to believe in him. Otherwise, we would be believing that God created people for perdition. In other words, damn, like he created people saying, yeah, they don't have the capacity to believe in me. And we're not Calvinists here. I love many Calvinists, but we're not predestination in that manner. Now, we do believe that the Lord has always foreknown, right? And who he foreknew, he predestined. Who he predestined, he called. Who he called, he also justified. Who he justified, he glorified. But it's because he foreknew everything. So he always knows who's going to come to him. But he doesn't create someone for hell. I mean, that would be, like, how would he create someone made in his image with the destination of hell? I just, that's not my God. I can't believe that, right? And so anyway, we're not going to get into, you know, more Arminianism and Calvinism today. But that's the idea. Everyone has the capacity to believe something they haven't seen. And that's the first thing about faith, is it's natural, it's organic, it's in our DNA with the capacity to believe. Aren't you glad of that? Because when, you know, you can look at anyone in your family or someone else who doesn't believe, and you're like, why don't they believe? But they have the capacity, because people believe all the time in things they haven't seen. When you think about it, even Adam and Eve in the garden, they believe Satan's words over God's words. And that's where the whole downfall came, right? So people have the capacity, because it's in our DNA, with the capacity to believe. The second thing is, faith is a spiritual gift. When you come to Christ, you actually receive a spiritual gift. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the third gift mentioned, remember, it's wisdom, knowledge, and then what? Faith. It's a spiritual gift, you know? It's a faith that isn't from us, it's from above. When you come and you believe in Christ, suddenly you're filled with faith that you didn't naturally have, because it's an infusion of his faith. That's something I was attracted to Jill about, because she had a faith that defied logical, natural conclusions. But she just believed. And guess what? Her faith has been proven again and again and again, right? And mine too, you know? And so this is the idea that it's a spiritual gift, you know? It's such a great thing that we don't have to rely on our original faith, because actually in Timothy it says, when we are faithless, he is faithful, because he will never deny himself. So his faith comes to the rescue when your faith is giving out. You could just say, Lord, you know, I believe, but help my unbelief. Give me more faith, because I am struggling here. It is a spiritual gift from God. Amen? Amen. And that's why Paul also wrote in Romans 1:17, he said, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You know, there's always more faith to be had. Our natural faith connects with Christ's faith, and bam, we are even fortified with faith that we never had in and of ourselves. But the last thing about faith is that it's something that can be increased or strengthened or grown. Isn't that awesome? I mean, you can have more faith. Faith doesn't need to stop. You can keep compounding your faith. In fact, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was saying to them that you need to forgive again and again and again and again, and they're like, huh, You know, Lord, increase our faith. You know, like, you know, you could just imagine them scratching their heads saying, how can we forgive people we're so fed up with? And then they said, Lord, please increase our faith. And so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled out by its roots and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. I will increase your faith. In fact, when Jesus said to Peter that Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that when you are when you return, strengthen your brethren. So there's always more faith. In fact, you know, Christ didn't only pray for Peter's faith in John 17. We don't have it up there, but he prayed for all of our faith, not just for these, but for those who will believe. I'm praying for them too. Deliver them from the evil one, right? And so the Lord is going to come to rescue even when your faith is struggling. Look, Lord, I believe, but please help how much I don't believe right now. You know, I need more of that belief from you. And he will come to the rescue. You know, faith is so important to be growing in because he is a rewarder of it. I love Hebrews 11:6. We're not going to read it today, but a little foreshadow. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Rewarder. A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So in other words, like, Lord, I have some faith for this. But Lord, I'm coming to you because you will reward me with even more faith. You're going to give me more. I don't know about you, but I need more faith all the time. Even though I believe, I know the Lord is at the right hand of the Father. I know I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can't prove me anything else. I've seen it too many times. But sometimes there's something that, like, oh man, I really, Lord, you know. In fact, right now, a friend of mine is going into surgery. He has cancer riddled through his spinal column and has the potential for being a paraplegic. And I'm like, Lord, you know, I need more faith right now. When I'm praying for this guy, I need your faith for this, Lord. And I just want to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, you can do all things. And please do this, right? Sometimes we just need more faith. Sometimes when I'm praying for someone, I could sense somebody else has more faith for it. I'm like, why don't you lay hands on this person and you pray? Because I'm struggling right now. You know, we can struggle sometimes in particular things. But, you know, pray for it and he will answer that faith, you know? You know, faith, another thing is that I like to call it the conduit to heaven. It's the conduit to the kingdom of God because we receive everything through faith, don't we? Everything we get from God is through faith. You know what I mean by a conduit? It's like, you know, they run electric cables through there, you know, so that it gets to where it needs to go without getting frayed, okay, or piping. You're awful glad you have pipes in your house because they're a conduit for the water. If you didn't, your house would be a swamp, right? You need conduits. Well, we receive from God through our faith. We even received salvation through our faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. You've received it through faith. It's a conduit. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So really, we need more faith. To receive from God, we need a big faith, you know? Because faith is the conduit to can do it. Does that make sense? I don't know. The Lord gave me that this morning. I'm not sure if it was from him or from my own delirious mind. But by the way, you look beautiful today. An extra hour of sleep really suits you. You look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, whatever that's supposed to mean, but you do. You look alive. Amen. But we always look good, don't we? We look good. We smell good. We look like Christ. We smell like Christ, right? Amen. But so this, we need to receive from God through that conduit of faith, the conduit to can do it, right? Then one final thing about faith is by faith we overcome. Like, you can't overcome this world with a weak faith. We need a strong faith. I love what John says in 1 John 5, 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? Just in case you didn't get it in the first verse. But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We overcome by faith. So we need more and more and more faith. Amen? Amen. So as we read these first three verses, we're going to really hone in on this idea of faith, because all of these people that the author is going to write about, inspired by the Holy Spirit, are people that exhibited supernatural faith, even though they still were not new creations as we are. So anyway, let's read these three verses. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And we're going to stop there. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time on verse 3 because, you know, that's apologetics you could spend a sermon or 10 sermons on. But I love apologetics. And I love people who really are good at it. And I'm not so good at apologetics. I can't remember facts and so forth about apologetics, but I love it when I see someone who just knows stuff right off the top of their mind, you know. And then how'd the shells get up on the mountain if there wasn't a flood? And all these things, pop, 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 you know. And they could just defy. And I was actually brought into faith through hearing this great speaker who knew apologetics. And I was just so, because I had a logical mind. And when I heard him sharing all these things that were like, wow, really? That's amazing. That's amazing. There's evidence everywhere. Romans 1 even tells us that God created all things. And Christ holds it all together. He is the Word of God. So when the Word of God was spoken, that's him. And just through the Word, everything was created. That's just amazing, isn't it? And he created it all. So, but again, we're not going to spend much time on that. We're going to really focus more on that verse 1. And again, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now your version might say the confidence. How many people say confidence? Anybody? Couple there? Assurance? Couple more, okay. Any others? You could just yell it out if you want. Evidence. Evidence, yeah. And there's another, thank you. And there's another word of evidence shortly after that. So really, it's like, it's, you know, it's, but the word, when you dissect the word substance, it's really like the word foundation. In fact, I have the word substance up there. Thanks, Nicole. You're doing a great job. Hupostas. Okay, and it means confidence, power, assurance, and but when you look at it, it's two words: hupo, which means under, and histemi, which actually means to put or support. So the whole idea is faith is the thing that we put under to support our lives, and of course we're built on the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, right? But it's the foundation, like, and we see that it's a setting or placing a thing under, substructure, foundation, that which has firm foundation. You know, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. I better stop there because I didn't practice for that. But, you know, yeah, thank you. Yes. All right, let's move on. It's going to get awkward. But it really is, you know, faith is that basis. In fact, I have a little picture there. Faith is the foundation, isn't it? It's what is like, it's the structure. And did you ever notice the deeper the foundation is built and the wider, the thicker, the taller you can build, the more you could, the heavier you can build, you know? I think of those skyscrapers in Manhattan built on a granite island. Don't you ever wonder, like, how does that island hold all of that weight? Like, how isn't it just sinking into the rivers that surround it. You know, it's amazing, really. But if you ever see, those buildings are hammered in about like five or more stories down. Maybe, what is it, 50 or 100 feet? Some of you might know. But they just go deep into the granite. And that's the foundation, right, for this super tall building, right? But really, our faith is the substructure, the substance of what we can build upon. And then we see the word, right? Substance of things, what? Hoped for. And let's look at this word hoped, elpizo, okay? And it's a verb form of elpis, which is expectation, evidence, reproof, a proof that by which a thing is proven or tested, you know? And so hope is what we are actually building. You know, without a foundation of faith, we don't even know what to hope for. Because hope is an expectation. It's not just a wish. You know, sometimes, you know, I've often said, you know, I hope I win the lottery, but I don't even play. So that's an impossibility. But a lot of times we say, I hope, and it's this like minuscule chance. Like, what are you hoping for that for? You know, it's not really likely, but we use the word hope for really wish, okay? A wish is like a flimsy maybe, might happen, might not, but an expectation is no, I'm building my expectations on who I know God is. Like, I know what he's like, so I can expect these results from what he has demonstrated to me who he is. And as we go through Hebrews 11, we're going to see people that took great chances, that went all the way in what they believed who God is. They invested all of their faith in a foundation of the character of God and did things that were just outrageously amazing because they knew how deep, thick, and wide their foundation in God was. And I think we can do the same thing. We can have that expectation on who God is. Amen. You know, this idea of foundation, I have a barn outside my house. And I'm going to mention it to you before, but it was there when I bought the house. I have a very old house. It's like a one-room schoolhouse that they kept adding to, so it's kind of weird, you know? And some ceilings, I almost have to duck. Not really, I'm lying. I am lying there. I do not have to duck. But some of you would have to duck if you went in there, John Paul. You might have to duck, all right? But, you know, it's an interesting house, right? But the barn is even more interesting because when you go in there, there's literally holes in the concrete flooring where groundhogs just like had a circus underneath there. And they were living there for years, right? So when you look outside, you see the walls are buckling. And so I brought in this mason friend of mine. I said, you know, so what can I do with this? Knock it down. Like, you're not going to build anything on this foundation, right? Because it's been chewed away at. It has tunnels. They actually ate through the concrete, so there's holes in the concrete. You're not doing anything with this barn. You got to rip it down and rebuild. And I have a garage that's close to being like that too. But that's another story. But so the idea is that the foundation is not strong enough to hold anything else, you know? And a lot of people who don't have a firm foundation in the character and nature of God, they're trying to build lives that are hopeful. But you can't. You have to have faith to have hope. You really do. Faith comes first, then you can have a life of hope. Do you know what I mean? Because how can you expect to have a hopeful life if you don't even have a firm foundation of faith in God? I remember one time this nice lady, she was a strong believer, and someone, you know, asked, you know, can you go up and pray with her? She's having issues with her son, and went up there, and he was, he used to be at Liberty University. He might have graduated, right? But somewhere along the line, he became a Muslim, okay? And so he left the faith. And then while he was working at a job, he threw a hammer at a coworker and a few other things. And so now he might be facing charges, right? And so she said, "Can you pray that the judge has leniency on him?" And I'm like, I don't know. Is that something that God wants? Yeah. I mean, he's left the faith. Maybe God wants this in his life as like a disciplinary tactic to draw him back. Like, I don't know. I said, I'll pray, but I'll just pray generally that, you know, the Lord shows him grace in many areas, you know. So we just prayed. And because, like, how do you pray for something like that? Because his life already has a foundation that is broken apart by the groundhogs of this world, right? By the enemy has just already wreaked havoc on his foundation. And his house is like a Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's just, it can't stand. So I'm thinking, how do you pray into something that's already collapsed, you know? And so, you know, and so many issues are like that. Because people say, yeah, I have this issue and they're going on. And they want you to pray, right, about a good outcome. And you're thinking, I don't know if there's going to be one until you fall on your knees and surrender to the Lord Jesus. Like, you know, how are you going to have a good outcome? I hate to say, it's kind of a hopeless life without faith in God. And that's what this is saying, you know, that faith is the substance of things that we can hope for. And then the evidence of things not seen, you know? And so that's the whole idea. Now, hope is really like, it's an expectation. I talked to you about that. And what do we expect in our lives? I saw this quote. I was watching a commercial, and it was the coolest quote. I'm like, that's noteworthy, right? And the quote was, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Did you ever see that commercial? I'm like, wow, that's so simple and yet so profound. So I looked it up, and it was Henry Ford who said that. Do you have that slide of Henry Ford? And everyone knows who Henry Ford, every Ford driving around is all started with a Thunderbird or whatever. Some of you know the first Model T. Thank you. Devin knew that. Let's give Devin. Woo! I have a feeling not, but that's okay. But you know, right? I mean, he was revolutionary. He transformed innovation in this country and around the world, making affordable things with an assembly line. I mean, it was so innovative, you know? I didn't get a chance to look into his faith, but maybe you know. But just that idea of whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right, to me, says so much. Because, you know, the verse that, as a man thinks, so is he. Like, what are we expecting? There's even people that are unsaved with more confidence than a believer. And they're everywhere. They have confidence in their earthly ability. Why don't we have confidence in our heavenly ability, right? Believing that anything he wants me to have, I am claiming it because I will have it, right? Because we have supernatural gifts from above, things that we didn't have when we were born or when we were living a life until we gave our lives to Christ. Suddenly, bam, we are hyper infused with this spiritual gift from above, his power, his might, his authority. That's what we have been equipped with. We should certainly have more confidence in God than they do in themselves. And yet you see people taking, in this world, so many risks in their own abilities. You know, they're gambling on their own abilities. I heard this podcast this morning about how gambling is so crazy now in sports and the recent, you know, thing that happened. And, you know, I've never been into gambling. I just lose $5 and I just can't get over it. So that's not me. Maybe you have a thicker skin for that. I don't like losing money on a cheap thrill that wasn't that much fun to begin with. But I understand. I went to a college with a friend who was always, you know, losing money. Somehow he didn't get it. This isn't cut out for me, gambling on, You know, and he knew sports, and he bet on sports and just kept losing. I don't get it. But anyway, and he ended up dropping out. He's brighter than all of us. Smarter guy than every one of us. And he ends up leaving college, Penn State main campus, earlier than any of us. He never graduated. I'm like, how did he was brilliant. But he just fell into it, gambling, drinking, everything else. But anyway, but like this idea of people will gamble on the ability. I've never even done a fantasy league. I'm just telling you, I'm like so, I don't understand it and I don't follow it enough. But so, but you hear all these people investing in other people's abilities. Why don't we invest in Christ's ability in us? Let's put it all down on red or black. What do you want to call it? Let's call it red. All right? We'll put it all on red. But let's invest in who Christ is in us. Let's just throw it all in. And so I think the Lord gave me another. I tried it out on Jill. She wasn't impressed, but maybe you'll be a little more impressed. But the Lord gave me this little saying, thoughts become words, words become actions, and actions become outcome. You know, if our thoughts are not with expectation that God can do all things, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, it's him living in me. Where are the limitations? Wherever he doesn't want me to go. But other than that, the sky's the limit, right? Like my thoughts, and then start speaking into that. Start telling friends that you could trust that aren't going to say you're crazy or, you know, be negative towards you or, you know, try to quench your joy. You know, there's people like that. I don't know if you ever met them. Couple. None in here, but there's a couple out there. Just say, that's stupid. Why would you think you can do that? You know, David had a couple of brothers that way, like that, right? Joseph had some brothers like that. That's a dumb dream, right? You know, we all have people in our lives that say, what do you, really? You know, but start speaking to people you could trust. Like, I think the Lord has called me to maybe do this. Like, you know, start speaking those things that you have thoughts about. You know, and then not only that, but don't stop there. You know, Henry Ford, he had some ideas and he probably told some people, but did he stop there? You know, he actually put it into action, right? And we're going to fail. The good thing about the Lord is that he is so gracious. He keeps lifting. Come on, we're going to do this. Get back up. Come on, let's go. We're going to get to where we're going. Right? He's always picking you back up. You don't have to fail once and turn away and say, give it a try. No, it's like if he called you to it, he will bring it to fruition. Right? And so we can trust him that he's going to accomplish. He who began a good work in you will complete it in Christ Jesus. He's going to do the work. He's going to complete the task. Right? So what we say, those words then become actions. If I'm going to say this, I'm not going to keep talking about it. I'm actually going to do it. I am going to do it. And I'm going to keep doing it until I see what happens, the results, because we know that there will be evidence, like we just read, the evidence of things unseen. And you know, I really think the true intent of that verse is that you didn't once see it, now you see it. You will see the outcome of your faith in this life and beyond, of course. But when you believe and act in faith, don't you always see the outcome? There's always going to be an outcome. And it's going to be maybe not what you expected, but it's an outcome. And you could say, Lord, thank you for letting me see it on this side of heaven. I can only imagine what it's going to look like on that side of heaven. Some things we won't see down here, people we touched and moved and inspired, we may never see the results until years later. But suddenly someone will come up and say, yeah, I remember you. And suddenly they'll say things. I did that. I said that. I don't remember any of that. You know, sure it was me, you know, because, you know, that's what happens. But even if you never see it, you're going to see it someday, right? Because he never forgets what you do in faith. Amen. And I was just thinking about this, how the Lord, you know, again, our thoughts become words, our words become actions, and our actions become reality, right? Our actions have an outcome, okay? And that's what they become, the outcome. And so we see the results of it. I love what Jesus said to his disciples about like speaking things into existence. When he said in Mark 11, 23 and 24, he said, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, that's a promise, right? "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." You know, some people read that and say, well, maybe that's not exactly what he means. Well, there could be some metaphor there. He might not actually literally be saying, all right, pray for the mountains along the Lehigh River that they would move a little bit south, okay, to give a little more land to South Bethlehem. I doubt he means a literal mountain. He's talking about what mountain is in the way of your life, right? Because he's saying, no, I'll either carry you over it or I'm going to remove it. Just speak it into existence. The voice of a believer has so much power, so much weight, you know, because when we say things in faith, it's like the word of God pouring out of us. You know, in fact, the word says we're all prophets. Now, I'm not saying speaking the future. I'm saying we have a prophetic calling to speak the word of God into situations down here on earth, right? As the worship team comes forward and we prepare for communion, you know, we could see these patriarchs of faith. There's going to be 16 of them mentioned in Hebrews 11. And there's going to be a lot more inferred, like people that they're going to talk about but not mention their names. But as you read it, you're like, I know who that is. She had a son raised from the dead. And yep, I remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Like I think we just sang about that, which was cool. You know, they're in the fire. Doesn't mention their names, but we know who they are, right? Even Daniel doesn't mention Daniel's name, but we know who he is. And we know that the lion's mouths were shut, right? But because of their faith, how much more us? In this day and age, being the new creation of Christ, should we not expect to walk in power and authority in this world? Amen? Because he says we have that authority. I love what David, you can start giving out the elements. When David, you remember, you know, his brothers always talked him down and all that. And finally, you know, David was walking out to the battlefield and he's hearing Goliath, this 9-foot-9-inch guy with a spear, I forget how long, and weight, and the head of the spear was probably half the weight of David, right? And he's watching this monster, but he was denouncing God and the Lord's army. And something came over David's heart, like, Lord, are you going to let this guy go unchecked? Like, Lord, don't we have to do something about this? Like I did with the bear that was attacking the sheep and the lion. Like, something needs to be done with this monster. Lord, I know you're not going to let this go unchecked. I'm infusing my own commentary here. But he's asking, what's happening here? And as he's watching this, and he's gaining more and more confidence and courage and expectation, because remember, his faith was in who God was. His faith was that he is going to be king. Do you remember that? Samuel said, you're going to be king, and he poured the oil on his head from a horn and said, you are the next king of Israel. Had he been king of Israel yet? No. Right? And so he received the anointing. He knew he had to be king. I'm not king yet. I can't die here and now. Think about that. Is the Lord going to let you die in your failures? Or is he going to lift you up and say, no, we're doing this thing. we are going to overcome. And I believe David said, you know, wait, this is all, wow. I don't get it, but I have a supernatural faith here, and I have courage and confidence that I never had before, except with a bear and a lion, but I got some courage and confidence. And he went out into the battlefield. And these words he said, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And then verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That's some trash talk there. But guess what? It's some heavenly talk, because he already sees it. He already sees it. You know, imagine that. He already envisioned. Goliath goes down. He runs up. There's the sword. There's the head. Just like I just said. Like, he saw the whole thing happening before it happened. Because he said, you know what? I am not king yet. The Lord will bring a victory here. Now, I don't think I'm ever going to go in front of a 9 foot, 9 inch person and have to do something like that. My giants are little things that I just have to have faith that the Lord has overcome, that he will deliver me from this. All of us have these giants in our lives. And it could be just a relationship that we wish would get better. It could be someone that we just can't get overcome. We can't overcome the unforgiveness, the pain and hurt that we experience from someone that might even be long dead by now. And that might be your Goliath. But the Lord is saying, no. No, no, come on, we have this. Do you remember David just didn't walk in there like, you know, swinging. He ran. He charged towards a 9 foot nine giant, all armored up with the sword, the shield, the javelin, the spear, everything. Unafraid, he ran. You know, I believe that we need to charge into battle knowing who the conqueror truly is because of our firm foundation of faith. Amen? Amen. Let's have communion. Father God, as we just meditate, Lord, on your word, all these promises being yes and amen again and again and again, Lord God, you promise that you will overcome. You promise that through our faith, we will overcome, whether it be an addiction, whether it be finances. Whether it be sickness. Lord, we want to run into this. We want to run into this with so much confidence in you and know that we are victorious. If anyone here has never received the Lord as your Savior, I'm begging you right now, do it. Because the word says, don't take the communion in an unworthy manner. And you know, none of us are worthy apart from Christ, but all of us are worthy in Christ, right? And so I'm just going to ask you right now, don't let this moment go, because your life is hopeless. Without Jesus Christ, you are hopeless. And I'm not being mean. I'm being truthful. Our lives are hopeless without faith in Jesus Christ. We have no hope. But in him, we can build a strong and mighty fortress of hope. Father God, as we eat this bread, we trust everyone in here is saved. And if someone isn't, Lord God, we ask you to just inspire them right now to surrender to you. Lord, we eat this bread remembering that it was your body that was nailed to the cross. You became our sins. Our sins died with you on the cross. Lord, thank you for being the bread from heaven. We thank you for the bread. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father God, as we drink this cup, we remember it's because your blood was shed for us that our sins are washed away. We are truly born again, new creations. And we have a firm foundation in you, Lord God. And we have a hope and a future. We thank you for the shed blood. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us at Lansdale Life Church as we praise God and discuss His Word. Don't forget to join us for Worship Live Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Be blessed and have a great day.